First Peter, chapter number 2. Y'all pray for me tonight. First Peter, chapter number 2. So good to see you tonight. It's good to be here and be saved. I like to see our church full on Sunday night. I appreciate you coming. 1 Peter 2, verse number 1, he says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice," that's wickedness and naughtiness, "and all guile," that's deceit, "and hypocrisies," we know what that is. We've heard the reason a lot of people don't come to church because hypocrites. It does good that we not fit in that category of being a hypocrite. That's folk that sang on the choir Sunday and lived like the devil on Monday. Envies, that's jealousy. Be careful, it's easy to get jealous. But I've noticed the only people I've ever been jealous of is those that was ahead of me. I don't like so-and-so, I'm jealous. I can tell you why. They're above you. They further along than you are. Boy, that hurts, don't it? "And all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you've tasted that the Lord's gracious." Talked about that a little this morning. Aren't you glad He is full of grace? "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed or rejected indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also as lively stones, you're built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Thank you for standing tonight. I've started in a series that I feel God's impressed upon my heart on the emblems of His church. Last Sunday, God allowed us to look at the pearl of a great price. But tonight, now I want to deal with this thought of this spiritual house, a great place. Not only the pearl, do we see where God had an emblem of His church, a pearl of great price. But now we see a house, and my thought is a great place. I'm glad I'm hooked in the house of God tonight. A lot of places that you could be and a lot of places I could be. But I'm glad we have a place that we can come to tonight, share our burden. Glad we've got a place tonight that we can come and get to know our brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm glad we've got a place tonight that we can learn about Jesus, the dearest friend we've ever had. So many things I guess I could talk about tonight of this house, a great place, but I just want to share three little simple thoughts found here in 1 Peter. I want to say, first of all, it is a place of parenthood. Secondly, you'll find out it is a place of priesthood. And then thirdly, you'll find out it is a place of great pilgrimhood. Now we look, if we could, tonight, first of all, it is a place of parenthood. Why would you say that the house, being a great place, is a place of parenthood? Well, notice in verse number 2, you'll see babies delivered. He has said, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." Now, newborn means simply this, babes at breast. Infant children. By the way, it would do you good to never get away from that process. John never did get away from it. He laid on the heart of God. That's why John's gospel maybe is so profound or the deepest. He was the closest to the Lord Jesus you'll always finding him laying his head on the bosom of Christ. I want to tell you, it's a good place to go to sleep by tonight. Good place to wake up by in the morning. Good place to go to work by tomorrow. It's a good place to go fishing by Saturday. It's a good place to go to church by Sunday. Thank God this is a place of parenthood where babies are delivered. Aren't you glad God has young'uns? Aren't you glad one blessed day that the Holy Ghost got you a child and there forthwith came somebody that you cannot believe came forth tonight? God has young'uns. And I tell you how that He brings forth a child just the way that Jesus was brought forth. By the Holy Ghost. I'm glad that God births His children in the family of God. Baptist Church didn't bring you in. God had you. A place of parenthood. Babies delivered. Secondly, notice not only the babies delivered, but the babies desire. Verse number 2. That they would desire the sincere milk of the Word. That sincere Word is there pure tonight. He said the baby's desire is that they would have the sincere milk of the Word or the pure Word. Hey, tonight if you don't desire preaching, something's wrong with you. You're on the wrong formula tonight. I notice that most folk try to draw a crowd with a singing group. But honey, I'm going to tell you, God said He chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And hearing comes by the preaching. And honey, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the Word of God tonight. You will not grow because you've heard it. But you'll grow because you hear it. And hear it. And I don't know about y'all, but I need to hear stuff 3, 4, 5 times. Not real good on instruction. Any of y'all ever tried to put together a swing set? Y'all ever seen that many bolts in a bag? I can't look at it and put it together, but if somebody would take me and show me through the process, I can say, I get it now. Comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. Some of you tonight are growing because you're hearing and hearing and hearing. Oh, the desire of the babe. Said they desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. In Psalms 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, and I'll try not to preach it all tonight. I know some of y'all said, "Woo, praise God." But Psalms 119, the longest chapter in your Bible. But you don't notice that this little thought on the babe's desire. First of all, you'll see in verse 161. That sounds strange, don't it? Verse 161. If you got a Scofield, that's page 662. You'll see babes, first of all, prefer the Word. He said, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause. But my heart standeth in awe of Thy Word." The Word of God is amazing tonight. I stand in awe at the Word of God. I stand in awe at what I see every time I get to my desk and get something new. I stand in awe at the Word of God passages I've preached and preached and preached and pick up the Word of God and God give me something new. Psalmist David said, "I stand in awe at Your Word." Talking about the desire of the child of God tonight. The babe's desire. We should prefer the Word. And then in 162, we ought to praise the Word. He said, "I rejoice at Thy Word as one that findeth great spoil." Do you rejoice at the Word, or do you draw up when the preacher says, "Turn to your Bible"? We ought to praise God for His Word tonight. Oh, the Word ought to bring rejoicing and joy unspeakable and full of glory in your life. It's nothing like the precious Word of God. I love a preacher get hooked up preaching the Word of God. The babe's desires prefer the Word. You'll notice that David said, we should praise the Word. And then in 163, you'll notice that we should protect the Word. He said, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. David said, I love the Word of God. And then, verse 165, we ought to have peace from the Word. He said, great peace have they which love thy law. And watch this, nothing shall offend them. I tell you how I know who ain't the Word of God. When you get mad at preaching, it tells me you ain't in the Bible. He said, hey, it don't matter what a preacher says, long as it's in the Word of God, it will not upset me. You ever picked up a rock thrown a pack of dogs? I tell you, the one hollered, the one you hit. The hit dog hollers. David said, nothing shall offend me in thy word. Oh, tonight it ought to bring comfort to us. We ought to be so in depth. We ought to be so in contact with the Word of God. A lot of you know where your achy, break your heart CDs are, but you don't have a clue where your Bible is. You know where your remote control's at, but you don't know where the Word of God's at. You better get in the Word of God. It'll help you in this day and hour. Shake that mule head tonight. Oh, David said, nothing shall offend me. It ain't nothing tears me up no worse. Somebody meet me at the church and say, preacher, I got an issue with something you said. Well, David said, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. If you get so engrossed in this Word of God, you'll find Jesus in a way you've never found Him, friend. I tell you, little things, little sayings and quotes won't rock your world if you know what the Word of God says. Tonight, we should have peace from the Word. And then we ought to practice the Word. Look, if you would, in verse number 166. Lord, I've hoped for Thy salvation and done Thy commandments. We ought to practice the Word of God. You know, this is amazing to me. Will most of you agree with me that I explained to you how to live in the Word of God? Then why don't you live like it? Well, I don't know why all these things is happening to me. You're going to catch on after a while. We ought to practice the Word of God. It ought to be our daily living. This is a lifestyle. We ought to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. This thing of the Word of God ought not just be a Sunday venture. It ought to be who you are. Tonight, the house, great place. Place of parenthood. Babies delivered. We see babies' desires. But then, notice if you would back over there in verse number 2. 2 Peter 2, you'll see babies' development. Babies' development. He said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Grow thereby. Boy, I found something just a minute I'm going to share with you. I had me a running fit this week and I found it. But I want you to look first at 2 Peter now 3 and 18. Let's turn over to your right a little bit. 2 Peter 3 and 18. The baby's desire, but now the baby's development. He said we ought to grow. Well, 2 Peter 3 and verse number 18. He stays with the same thought process. And he starts telling them in verse number 18. But grow in grace. He's closing his whole epistle. And in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. He closes this epistle with a challenge, with a charge of saying, but I want you to grow in grace. Oh, tonight, how we need to grow in grace. I feel like I've grown in grace. I'll be honest with you, when I first started preaching, I couldn't help nobody because I was so legalistic. But I've noticed this. People don't get the earrings out of their head till Jesus moves in the heart. People don't cut their hair till they get their heart right. They don't dress right till they get their heart right. I had it all backwards. I was trying to clean up the outside. Jesus cleans up the inside. And you'll notice then He starts whittling on the outside. I ain't got to tell you to cut your hair. The Holy Ghost will tell you when to cut your hair. I ain't got to tell you to get them studs out of your head. The Holy Ghost will tell you to get them out. If He lives in you, I guarantee you that. Shake that head tonight. Look like you fell in a tackle box. Baby's development. Grow there by now. What's He want us to do? Ephesians 4. Verse number 15. Ephesians 4 and 15. Wow, have you ever seen this? This is just wonderful right here. Talking about the baby's development. He said this in Ephesians 4 and verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, you may grow up into Him. Just a few of you got it. You want a mark to grow up to be? You want to set your sights on to become somebody? There's the best one I know. But to grow up into Him. Wouldn't that be something to grow up like Jesus? I bet my old tongue wouldn't be near as hateful if I'd be like Him. What you think? I bet I'd give all my money, Brother Gerald, if I growed up like Him. Boy, I bet I'd love everybody, Brother Ralph, if I'd grow up into Him. You see what He says? But speaking the truth in love, you may grow up into Him. You want to be somebody? That's somebody you can be. Be like Jesus. Boy, what a blessing. It's quiet tonight. I ain't got out of your book, have I? Okay. But speaking, let me stand over here. I feel a little more user-friendly over here tonight. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things. All things. He wants us. You know what He wants us to be like? Him. How would He react in your situation? I can tell you how He would react. You can find it all here. What about Jesus to do with His enemy? He said, pray for him. And so doing, He'd heat coals of fire upon their head. Wonder what He'd do to sinners come in that looked real awful. Wonder what the Baptist church would have done when Legion walked in. What Jesus do? Jesus put him in his right mind, put clothes on him. That lets me know if you're about naked tonight, you ain't in your right mind. Oh, I know some of you boys think you Tarzan. You walk around like Matt Dillon, you're going to draw that gun. Just say something to me, bud. I was born with attitude and I'm going to leave out with attitude. What would Jesus do? Speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things. Boy, that's a pretty good mark. Don't try to be like your preacher. You know what Dylan did this week? Y'all look at him before you leave. He thought he ought to have a haircut like his preacher. Out of the mouth of babes. We'll just try to do anything to get us out of trouble, won't we? He took him a razor and gave him a home barbershop cut. Miss D said, boy, what you doing? He's in trouble. And then the quickest thing that come to him, I just won't try to look like my preacher. That's good, ain't it? I don't care what anybody says. That's good right there. So don't all y'all come to church next week with this donut cut I got. That's pretty good. Macy used to get in trouble, Miss Renee, all the time. First thing her reply back is something about God. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him. It don't say grow up unto Him, does it? Grow up into Him in all things. That's a pretty good challenge tonight. About the best challenge I could ever challenge you with, to be somebody like Jesus. I hope you make it further than I've made it. He's wonderful tonight. Just wave your hands at Him there a minute. Do you good? Boy, He deserves our praise. I agree with Brother Chuck. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. A house, a great place. It's a place of parenthood. Baby's delivered. We see the baby's desires, the baby's development, that we would grow up into Him in all things. In verse 3, the baby's delight. You'll notice that Peter's writing in that text. And so he says this, verse number 3, if so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. The baby's delight. You know what our delight ought to be? In Psalms 1, you don't have to turn, I read it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, there it is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doeth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You hear me tonight? God may be testing you, young Christian. God may be having your faith on trial. God will allow hard things to come to you to show you if you're real or not. But you better sure the Word of God is true tonight. Those that find their delight in the Word of God shall be blessed. I'll bank on it tonight. We find that this house, a great place, is a place of parenthood. Aren't you glad that some of you have grown up in the house of God tonight? You're closer to the Lord than you was years ago. Place of parenthood. Thank God for some brothers and sisters in Christ tonight that's older, that's walked down these roads, that you can look and they can turn around and tell you Jesus saves and it still works in the day and hour that we live. Honey, the Bible's not out of date. It's the real deal tonight. A place of parenthood. I'm so glad I've got some spiritual fathers in my life. Boy, I've learned a lot around the house of God. I'm ever indebted to them. I'm thankful that my paths have crossed with so many. Isn't it a blessing to go to church with people that's real, that love you? Boy, I just love going to church here. And I prove it to you. I show up. A place of parenthood. Secondly, it's a place of priesthood. We don't know what we've got tonight. This thing of a priesthood, look in verse number 9 of 1 Peter 2. He said this, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. a holy nation and a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You think God's really going to get on you because you praise Him? He may get on you if you sing about grandma. And the whole church turn around and reverence people and things. But you'll never go wrong praising Him. Priesthood. What's this? A place of parenthood, but a place of priesthood. In verse number 9, you'll notice our acceptance. He said, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Verse 10, which in time past you were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. What's he talking about, preacher? He's talking about two issues right there. God came, sent Jesus to the Jews, God's own chosen people. You know the reason America's blessed tonight? Because we're standing by the apple of His eye, Israel. God said, you wouldn't need my people. But said, they rejected my Son, so I turned to the Gentiles. Did you know that in that early church, in that dispensation of the Old Testament, if you wanted to know anything about God, you had to go to a Jew. But at the dispensation of the age of grace on the day of Pentecost, ever since then, when God turned from them Jews and went and reached the Gentile people, now if a Jew wants to know something about God, he goes to a Gentile. I'm so glad God called me out. He said, hey, He said, you want something to praise me about? He said, just remember, if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't even be a people. I don't praise Him tonight because I'm a Baptist. But I praise Him because He chose me. He said, I was in a number. He said, a chosen people. Aren't you glad God turned by grace to the Gentile? I sure am glad the Jews turned Him down. Because He turned to Gentile dogs like me and you. Tonight we see our acceptance in Ephesians 1 and verse number 6. Notice the Bible says this, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. Oh, I'm so glad He made us accepted. And then we see this, our acceptance in Hebrews 10 and verse number 12. Boy, here's a great, great scripture. Hebrews 10 and verse number 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Talking about our acceptance. From henceforth expect until his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I'll make with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I'll put my laws in their heart, their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart, and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He's faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, a great place, a place of priesthood, our acceptance. He has made us accepted by the blood of Christ. I'm glad what Jesus done, He done forever. And then our access, and this is what I want to plow in just a minute tonight. Not only our acceptance, but our access. We are a peculiar people. We are a royal priesthood. In Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 4. Hebrews 12, verse number 4. We are a very peculiar people. He says this. You've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye forgot the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not now the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Tonight, we see that we have an access. I am so glad that Jesus saved us, and now we cannot do what we used to do, because now He treats us as individual children. If you'll notice in this great access of what we have in Hebrews 4 and verse number 14, I want you to look at this great access tonight. Verse 14 of Hebrews 4, our access as a priesthood. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We see here tonight as a place of priesthood our acceptance, but our access. I'm glad that Jesus made a way that we can pray, and we don't need a priest tonight to take our sins to Jesus. He is our great high priest. He's made a new and a living way. Did you know it was no way that you could talk with God before Calvary? Did you know that the people of the Old Testament had to go through that priest? That's where the Roman Catholic Church has accepted that heresy tonight. They say that you've got to go through the Pope. They hadn't read Hebrews. Jesus split the veil from the top to the bottom at Calvary. What'd He do? He made a new living way for us. No longer do you have to go through a preacher or a priest to get to God. Now you're your own priesthood. You can pray for your family individually tonight, because He made a new and a living way for you. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed in the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let me tell you something, friend. You'll never get to heaven without Jesus. You'll never get to know God unless you go by this great high priest, and that is Jesus Christ the Nazarene. For we've not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, but yet without sin. Jesus never committed one sin. But Jesus knows what it is to hurt. Jesus knows what it is to have sorrow, to have struggles. But yet He never knew sin. And friend, let me tell you something. When you pray to Jesus, He knows right where you are. And aren't you glad that our access, we can get in the presence of God by Jesus Christ the righteous? I see a lot of people saying, well, we'll bypass Christ and talk to God. No way. The Muslims tell you this. Their God is our God. That's no such a thing. They say Jesus Christ was a good man. That's a lie. He was God-man. And if you're going to heaven tonight, if you're ever going to know God in the free pardon of sin, you've got to go through His scapegoat, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, not a way. And isn't it amazing how that's left our country? Isn't it amazing how that has left our country. Well, when I was a kid, I didn't know what a Jehovah's Witness was. I didn't know what a seven-day disadvantage was. But these heresies has taken our country, moving Jesus to the side and damning people to a devil's hell. Honey, ain't no church going to get you in nothing. You better be born again by the grace of God. But we have a priesthood. Aren't you glad you can pray tonight? What a privilege as being a born-again child of God in a house like this that we can pray for ourselves. Isn't it a blessing that we can pray for one another? I was overseas one time, and I've told you, I experienced firsthand of a pope sitting in a little building. A lady I felt so sorry for, I wanted to cry for her. My heart bled for her. She was on her knees, and she was telling that fella everything. Just had a little cut in the door. She was just telling him everything. I said, "Oh God, I'm so glad. I am so glad, Lord." Out in my garage, I got a stack of quilts over in the corner. Sometimes I go out there and steal away and pray. I'm so glad I ain't got to call somebody. I'm glad that I'm in a New Testament church and I don't have to wait till the church is open to come in and pray to a man. Our priesthood, we're divine privileged people tonight. This house, a great place. Place of parenthood. It's a place of priesthood. We see our acceptance. He's made us accepted and beloved. Our access. It's by one priest tonight. And then our assisting. In Hebrews 12 and 4, I want you to notice something right there real quickly. We go back there. Hebrews 12 and 4. Our assisting. In this great house, what do we do? In Hebrews 12 and verse number 4, he said, "You've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye forgot the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children." Our assistant, we're peculiar people and we should lead others to Christ. We can help people. What a divine privilege being in that priesthood tonight that we can assist other people through our prayers. Aren't you glad you got somebody to pray for you tonight? Our assistant. And then you'll notice in verse number 9, our adoring. He said over there in that text of 1 Peter 2 and verse number 9, he said that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Can you show me one place in my Bible where we're not to praise God in a church service? Many of you was raised in a church and they said, "You better not say a word." Matter of fact, I'll be honest with you. This man told me last week, was down here last Sunday, "Brother Donald got in that cheerleading mode." He said, "You know something, if that man went to that church over yonder, they wouldn't let him come back." And that's the truth. "Brother Donald, you know what I say to you, sir? Carry on." Shout the hallelujah praises of God. Every chance He'll let you, honey, just throw your shoulders back and say, "What a Savior tonight." Amen. You should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Why, when that choir's singing, every one of you ought to be throwing your hands up. You know, it's pretty easy to do if you'll just ever get it here. Any of y'all, let me ask you. Any of y'all went to church where there was some really shouting grannies? Let me see your hand if you ever really seen. Yeah, I like that. Boy, it's nothing like hearing a woman shout, Brother David. And Brother Tim, it's one. Anyway, when it's on, I love it. I'll never forget, I was preaching in a rock's throw down here one time. I hadn't got go back, but I did make it one time. There's a granny sitting over about where Miss Susan's at. Me and my wife's there on Sunday morning. Now, you know, they're a real reverend bunch, real dignified. And I hadn't been preaching about a year and a half. And I thought everybody's supposed to be excited as I was. And Brother Dennis, I've been preaching about probably 10 minutes. I'll never forget what she done. She had a little hair up in a bun. And I noticed when she done it, she stood up. People went to watching. And she went to waving her little hanky. Boy, she went to praising God. Her and me. Her and me. Boy, I walked out the back of that church that morning. And she said, "Hon, that's the way they used to do it 50 years ago." Don't let the Baptist get your shout. Because it ain't about me. And it ain't about you. But it's all about Him. Our adoring. We show forth the praise. Lastly, this house, a great place. A place of parenthood. Place of priesthood. But thirdly and lastly, place of pilgrimhood. Verse number 11. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you, strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Strangers is a person away from home. A pilgrim is a person who's going home. Our pilgrimhood. You say, "Is pilgrimhood a word?" It is in Bowden. Strangers, a person away from home. I just can't get settled in here. I just can't find what I'm hunting here. He said, "I beseech you, stranger." Some of you strange down at your job, ain't you? Next time they say, "Boy, you strange." You say, "Jesus told me that." Strange. You know, you're probably strange if you read your Bible today. You're probably strange to come back to church on Sunday night. You're probably strange to come on Wednesday night. And you're probably strange to put your tithes in the church. You're probably strange today to raise your children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. You're probably strange if you discipline your children. You're probably strange, ladies, if you submit to your husband. Oh, boy, that's weak as dishwater. Did you notice the candidacy last night in the previews? They asked the Baptist preacher, try to catch him in something. "Well, you made a statement that women's supposed to submit." I love what he said. He just told them what the Bible said. He said, "Yeah, and we're to love our wives as Christ loved the church." This old world's a sight. Strangers. People look at you like you're strange. Used to run around and drink their booze and tell their jokes. Now they looking at you like, "You what? You're going to church?" "Yeah, right. You going to church? You strange. Pilgrim. All his affections are engaged elsewhere. We just pass through." You see, when the Spirit of God moves in, He heads us for home. Miss Sherry, if you come, just play something softly for me tonight. One of these great emblems of a great house. parenthood. I'm glad the Lord saved us. He's growing us. Growing us in grace. And I'm going to tell you something. When you got a lot of babies, you that have raised babies, there's a lot of mistakes goes on. The walking stage, the stage when they're exploring and jerking everything off the dresser. And get a big old glass of chocolate milk. And spill it right on the carpet, make a big old spot. How many times I've made mistakes. But fellas, it'd be somebody say, get up. Start again. I wonder how many of you teaching your youngins to walk when they fell down, you said, oh, don't get back up. Don't never do that again. What you say? Say, come on. And by the time they reach to you, you should take another step back. Come on. But Dennis, God's growing me right now. I'll be honest with you. He loves to challenge his children. Don't you want to be challenged to grow? Glad he sends us a challenge through the Word of God, through preachers. I'm a better man tonight because preaching made me look and see what that Bible said. Storms, crises, parenthood. I want to say something to the people that's been saved here. Why, I'm just thrilled to death how you reach out to these babes in Christ. I'm thrilled how you do it. Have you ever took a tree and planted it over yonder in the yard by itself? I tell you what it done. If you didn't tend to it, it'd die. It's got to be seen about. It's got to be watered. It's got to be groomed. We ought to be helping young Christians. And when they make a mistake, we ought to point out their mistake and encourage them to carry on. Nobody's perfect. Nobody perfect. And our priesthood. I'm so glad that I've got a God I can pray to tonight and get a prayer through. Our pilgrimage. I'm so glad that I'm just walking through this old world. Abraham, the father of our faith, was looking for a city that had foundations, where the builder and maker was God. He said, ain't nothing here permanent enough to stay. Get your eyes fixed on Jesus tonight. We're just passing through. You know that tombstone, 1961, the year I was born, is going to have a dash. Whenever God takes me out, going to be another number put on that stone. That dash means a whole lot. What went on between there means everything tonight. Are you growing? Do you want to grow? You need to get a prayer through tonight? You need to talk to the Lord about something? You come. Our altar is open. Preaching's done. Just mind the Lord tonight. Do what God have you to do, as my sister plays.